Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing story today? Joining me, I have the one and only Renee Murata. How you doing, Renee?
Hi, thank you. How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. You know,
it's funny, Renee. I've had several people on the show so far, and probably about four of them, we've all had a Denver, Colorado connection. So, another Denver, Colorado connection. I love it. Even though you're in Italy, across the pond.
I'm in Italy now, but I was born and raised in Colorado, Denver.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, thank you for being on the show, Renee. And for the folks who may not know you out there, can you just briefly introduce yourself to them, please?
So my name's Renee, and I have actually two businesses now. One is in gas, oil, chemical, petrochemical world. I do process safety over there. And then I also work with women and who want to step into leadership and really own their voice and do so with confidence and that step out of that distorted energy into that divine sacred energy. So
absolutely. That is awesome. And you said you have a program coming up here soon, right?
Yes. Yes. So in July, we're getting ready to bring in a new class. It's a year-long course. We work 4 months on self-mastery, because if you don't deal with your trauma and forgiveness, you can't really be a leader. Then we spend 4 months understanding team dynamics, and then we do 4 months of team mastery, where awesome. I teach people strategies and stuff.
Sounds amazing. If people want to get a hold of you and get in for more information on your program, what's the best way to go about doing that?
The best way would be my website, which is reneemurata.com. But you can also find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Awesome. So folks, be sure to follow Renee and jump in that class as well. Get those leadership skills that we all need desperately for all of our future leaders in this country as well and around the world as well. So Renee, as you know, our podcast really focuses on bringing amazing people like yourself on and have you talk about, you know, some of the ones, the most difficult time in your life or one of the most difficult times in your life and how you've gotten through it to kind of help our listeners get a blueprint in terms of how to overcome their own obstacles as well. So I'm going to start with my first question, Renee, and it is, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally?
You know, I was thinking about that because I've had several big obstacles in my life. Yes. And when I started Risk, I had a lot of personal obstacles going on there. So my daughter was a drug addict, and she's been clean for a few years, but we had some real challenges that we had to face there. Then when I started towards the end of, before I started CEO Essence, I had some financial issues, and that almost took us out. That almost, Risk almost went under business. I had to approach my, my employees and talk with them about it and get real vulnerable about, this is where we are. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make a paycheck on Wednesday. We'll see what, you know, if a client makes a payment or not. And that is really a very humbling experience. I've been in business for 12 years at that point. And, you know, it was very, it's very humbling. It's very scary to talk to them and say, hey, I don't know what to do, right? This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm, you know, so I shared with my employees everything that I was doing to let them know what the thinking was, what the process was, and let them make a decision about whether they wanted to stay or go.
Sure.
A couple people opted to go. A couple other people decided to roll up some sleeves and stick with me. And I am forever grateful for them.
Wow.
And we made it through. We're here.
That is awesome. I love seeing the comeback stories of entrepreneurs. If you don't mind me asking one, I want to ask a question about the situation with your daughter, because again, there are a lot of parents out there who may be experiencing something similar. And you know, I dealt with it with my parents being drug addicts and my sisters being drug addicts as well, though. So as a parent, talk to us about some emotions and feelings that you had to deal with when you kind of came to this reality that your daughter was involved in that type of lifestyle.
Yeah. So first it was denial. Like, it couldn't be my kid, right? Sure. She just couldn't. She was so talented, so smart, so, right? She had every advantage, all of these things. My parents were very involved. And so there was first the denial. Mm-hmm. And it caused a lot of fights between my husband and I, because my husband acknowledged it way before I did. And then comes the self-recriminations, right? The how, what did I do wrong? The guilt. The fear. There was a lot of fear. She was very heavy into it. There were times that I wasn't sure she was going to make it through. You know, having the police knock on your door at 5 a.m., you're sure that it's them wanting you to come down to the morgue. You know, so I had a lot of those kinds of situations where you cry yourself to sleep a lot.
Absolutely.
Then comes the anger, right? So you go through the whole range of emotions. Then comes the anger. How could she do this? Why would she do this to me, right? All of those things, you know. And then I found my way to compassion, right? Where I could still love her. Yes. And I realized that I could love her and not like what she was doing. I could like her and not like some of the things that she was saying, right? So there was I had to work my way through all of the emotions to get there. Mm-hmm. And so another part of the story is that we are raising two of her children. And we took physical custody and then we got legal custody of her kids. And so there was do we want her even involved in our grandchildren's lives, right? So there's so many emotions. And when you're running your own business on top of all of this, right? And you're trying to keep a smile on your face for all of your employees. You're trying to, you know, focus on things going on for your clients, you know, so it really can start to wear you down. And you have to find a way. For me, I had to find a way into my faith. I had to find a way into and faith at a level that was not just going to church and smiling.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes. Right? So I know that you understand what I'm saying. Absolutely. There. It's a deeper level. It's a deeper connection, a spiritual connection, where you know that you're connected to every living thing out there. And it's that compassion, that that connection, that is what saved me.
Yes.
And ultimately what saved my daughter.
Wow, that is amazing. And again, Renee, I can't thank you enough for being transparent and honest about that, because there are folks out there who probably are dealing with that same thing now, though. So as a family, as you guys were going through this ordeal, what were some of the coping mechanisms? You mentioned your faith. Were there other coping mechanisms that you guys turned to kind of help you get over this hurdle as well?
Well, for me, I buried myself in work for a while, which is a coping mechanism, right? And what ended up happening with that is it started to do this with my husband and I, right? Because I buried myself here and didn't want to deal with that there or that over there. He was acknowledging the drugs. I wasn't acknowledging the drugs. So we had to find a way to, one day I woke up and realized I didn't know this man. And I realized it would have been very easy for me to go, it's his fault. And I'll be honest, I did do that. It's your fault. If you hadn't been like this kind of dad or that kind of dad, she wouldn't be doing this. So I did do a lot of blame. And one day I realized, ooh, there's three fingers pointing down at me. Huh. Right. And so I took another hard look at him and realized he did the best he could do. I did the best I could do. And so we formulated a plan that allowed us to, we would go out on a date and not talk about her. Or he would say, okay, we need to talk about her. When can we schedule a time to talk about her? So we would schedule periods of time where we would have to talk about how we're going to deal with whatever situation was arising at that particular time, because like I said, we had her children. And so those were some of our coping mechanisms. Both of us were sports, right? So I did spin class. He got on a bike and he would disappear, or a motorcycle and he would disappear. So, and we gave each other permission to deal with it the way we needed to deal with it. For me, if I needed to go on a walk and just don't talk to me, he would honor that and respect that. And I did the same with him. So those were some of the things that we had to do.
No, those are some great, great strategies. I think that a lot of people will be able to take and utilize in their own lives as well, though. Did you guys have any mentors or guides to kind of help you through during this process at all?
No, we really didn't. At that point, I had left the church. I still have a very deep spiritual connection, but I had left the church for a variety of reasons. So I didn't have anybody there. My father had passed away. He passed away kind of like right towards the beginning of her drugs. And he was my go-to person. And then when he passed away, of course, my mother was in grief, so she couldn't cope with it. No, and I wasn't really talking about it with people, right? So it was one of those things that I held inside and refused to discuss with anybody. On a rare occasion, I would discuss it with a woman that I work with, who still I work with still, dear friend. And ultimately, what ended up happening is that my son-in-law at the time, he ended up going to prison. And our daughter was kind of left going, what do I do? We moved from California to Texas. And she was kind of, what am I going to do? And so we offered her a job. I was in a position to offer her a part-time job. And I put somebody between us that had the capacity to deal with her and all of her. She has a different mindset than I have, right? A different drama. And so I spoke with this person, I spoke with my husband, and I spoke with my daughter. And I said, look, here's how it's going to be, right? We're going to give you a chance, and you clean up your act, or it's done, it's over. The kids will never see you again. You will never see them again. We're out, right? So I'd gone through all of my emotions and now had the tough love.
Sure.
And when people say you have to do tough love, well, you have to get there first. you have to work your way to that, right? And so I'm happy to report she is still working for me, actually.
Awesome.
She does a great job. She's a marketing assistant.
Wow.
You know, and she's clean, she's remarried.
Yes.
Has another child and a stepchild. She's doing beautifully. So
awesome. We love hearing comeback stories like that as well, though. You know, so again, for those parents out there who may be dealing with some struggles with their children and maybe at that point of getting ready to give up, what kept you hanging in there and not giving up ultimately on your daughter?
You know, I would say I probably gave up 57 times, right? And then there would be a conversation that I'd have with her, and I'd see a piece of my daughter still yes. there.
Yes.
And I would hold on to that piece.
Yes.
You know, and then the darkness would return. There'd be a whole series of, you know, whatever, and I would give up again. And then I'd have another conversation with her, and there'd be another piece of my daughter that I could see, you know, a piece that really desperately wanted to come back home, but didn't know how to get there. And so I would hold on to those little pieces, and that those little pieces, I would gather those little pieces together. And that's how I ended up holding on.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. And, you know, when you look back today, how would you say that whole ordeal kind of shaped you as a person, as a family, as an entrepreneur? How did all that shape those? How did that experience shape all those matters?
Well, that's a good question, because it really didn't force me. I chose compassion,
sure.
right? And so in choosing compassion, I realized where else in my life compassion could play a role. And so it has absolutely shaped my leadership.
Yes.
It has shaped my parenting. It has shaped my relationship with my husband. It has shaped relationships that I'm developing now. It definitely had an impact in that respect. And that's where CEO Essence came in, right? So CEO Essence came in after all of, during, towards the end and of her drugs and into the clarity of her life. That's where CEO Essence came in. And really it was about compassion, compassionate leadership. You know, I shifted all of my leadership styles to bring that more forward. And it's also, ironically, interestingly enough, part of what allowed me to be vulnerable with my team.
Yes.
When the financial situation mm-hmm. was happening at risk, right? Is that I was able to finally acknowledge that, you know, vulnerability is just part of life. We all have our struggles. We all have our challenges. And here we are, guys. What are we going to do about it? Right. And so definitely it has shaped who I am and how I show up on a day-to-day basis, for sure.
That is awesome to have, you know, such an experience that can be so devastating, kind of spawn into a positive direction for you, your family, your kids, your business as well. As you look back on this journey, Renee, would you do anything differently?
I don't think so. You know, I think because every part of it, you know, would I wish that things were different and they had been differently? Probably, but at the same time, then something else would have happened, right? So I signed on for this gig in this body, absolutely, right, to learn certain lessons so that I could then teach certain lessons and live a certain way so that I could then help other people live a certain way. And so if I hadn't learned it that way, I would have learned it another way.
Yes.
And so looking back, I don't know that I would.
Yes. And that's a great answer. And I want my listening audience to pay attention to that, because nearly every guest that I've had on the show, 98% of them probably said, have probably mentioned that they would not do anything different, because they wouldn't be who they are today without the experience. No matter how difficult it was, it kind of shaped them with who they are today. Though, absolutely. So Renee, you know, we're coming off a tough year. Folks out there have lost finances, lost loved ones, lost material possessions, lost hope in many situations. Mm-hmm. What words of advice would you let, you can give those folks out to let them know that a brighter day is still to come?
You know, I choose joy.
Yes.
And, you know, I lost my father. He was 61 years old when he passed away. Wow. 15 years ago, this month, actually.
Wow. Condolences.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't ready to go. Right. He wanted to live. He did everything he could. And what I learned from my father is that joy is a choice. So even the last year of his life where he was struggling with leukemia, he made a choice to be joyful.
Yes.
And so even though he ended up passing away and we were all, I still grieve. I still have days where I break down and cry 15 years later. I still make the choice every day. And it is a choice, you know, and there are days that can be very dark and very difficult and very challenging. I've been through all of those. I've lived it in so many different, you know, you've heard this much of my story, right? I could share that much more. And those many more kinds of stories that are vulnerability and fear and pain and all of those other things. But at the end of the day, I still choose joy.
Yes.
Right. And so if you have to find it by seeing, you know, and appreciating a pink rose or watching the bird flit along the you know, the branch right there, or, you know, appreciate the butterfly that goes by, or, you know, I don't do the Facebook thing all the time because everybody puts that smile on their face and I think, oh, how come their life is like that? And then I realize, but it's not.
Yes.
Right. So I'm not a heavy Facebook, Instagram user. I have an account, and somebody else fortunately does a lot of the you know, she puts together all of my posts for me, and I go in and I go, I'm going to change that wording like that. So I do it all in one fell swoop so that I don't have to be on Facebook and see all of those stories, right? And I choose to focus on the laughter of the child downstairs, right? I hear him giggling and I think, oh, isn't that precious? Or my kids, when they're laughing hysterically at some silly joke that I don't understand because, you know, whatever, they're, you know, my grandson's a, you know, have like boy humor, you know, whatever, right? So that's my choice. And so you have a choice every single day, every moment of every single day.
That is very good advice. And I think very well taken, hopefully by a lot of the listening audience out there as well. Renee, your story is incredible. Folks out there, if you're looking for a leader, someone to learn leadership skills from, who better to learn it from than someone who's been there, done it as well. Renee, if people want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to do that?
Best way is my website, reneemurata.com, but they can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse.
Clubhouse. Well, she, you know, you've arrived when you're on Clubhouse. You have arrived when you're on Clubhouse. That's what I'm trying to do. Yes. So I love it. Hey, so Renee, you know, we talked about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have a little fun?
Yes.
Here we go. Okay. This portion of our show is called a rapid fire purpose section. And I'm going to ask you a number of questions around purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on the questions at all. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Renee, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
I live in Italy.
Okay.
The Italian Alps, the French Alps are 45 minutes that way, and the Swiss Alps are 45 minutes that way.
Wow. She's near 27 major...
27 ski resorts, an hour from my home.
That's pretty amazing, yes. What gives your life meaning?
My children, my grandchildren, my husband, and connection with other people.
I love it. What one word best describes you?
Crazy.
Great word. There you go. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I would like to see more compassion in communication with other people. Yes. I would like to see leadership be more compassionate. When you have more compassion, you can be more diverse, more inclusive, more connected, more collaborative. I would like to see more compassion.
Absolutely. I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Read.
Good. Yep. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Read.
Okay, good. Good. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
My 15-year-old self would imagine that I'm playing the piano at the Philharmonic.
Okay, good. I like that. Good. Who inspires you the most?
That's a good question. Because different people inspire me in different ways. Mm-hmm. So who inspires me the most? That's a tough one. You know, it is. Because I find inspiration in my husband and the way he's willing to shift and turn and he kind of deals with all of my craziness. I find inspiration in my father and what I learned from him.
Sure.
I find inspiration in people like Oprah Winfrey who embraces and embodies what I think of as leadership.
Absolutely.
There are different people out there that inspire me in different ways.
I love it. Great answers. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I I am a risk taker, even though my business is safety.
You're good. That's a good one there. Yeah. I love it. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Well, borders open. I want to go to Greece.
Hey, there you go. Been in the house for a long time. Time to get out there.
Yeah.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Something I'll spend my time doing no matter what. Well, I don't know. Just sitting, and I'm a people watcher. I also like to watch the little critters. So if I'm in the woods, it's critters. And if I'm not in the woods, it's people.
There you go. There you go. I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
What do I want my grandchildren to say about me? I want my grandchildren to say that I was pretty amazing.
That's good. That's good.
That I was fun. I was maybe not too hip. You know, I'm okay not being hip. That's okay with me. But that I was pretty amazing.
Yes, I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Transformation.
Okay, good, good one. What sparks your creativity?
Techno music.
There you go. That's something we were surprised to learn about it. There you go, right there.
yeah, techno music.
There you go. Do you crank it up pretty loud there?
Yeah. I listen to all kinds of genres of music, but for whatever reason, techno is that go-to for me.
There you go. I love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Ooh, what law would I pass first? It would definitely be around equality.
Okay.
I would have to look and see what's really there.
Sure.
But it would be around equality and equality in healthcare, equality in education, equality and real honest to goodness, not this we say we have it, but real for goodness equality.
Absolutely. I love it. Yes. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
I think it would be Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm. Great.
She has had a lot of trials and tribulations, and she's lived it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And she learns constantly, and she follows her gut, which I love.
Yes.
Right. She listens to that intuition.
Yes. I love that. That's a good pick there. What do you love to do for others?
I like to cook.
Okay.
Bake.
Good.
Bake. I used to bake for a living, so I like to bake for others.
I love it. What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
The best gift someone's ever given me. The gift of taking the children so that I could go and do whatever I needed to do, what I wanted to do for the afternoon.
Okay, so babysitter, right?
A babysitter. So I can go to the spa or whatever. Yeah.
I love it. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
Actually, I would say that pretty recently I received one. At how deeply they felt I held space for them.
That's awesome.
That they felt that they could really trust and be held energetically by me.
I love it. Good. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
The one thing I've never tried new things.
Okay. Good answer. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
An art award.
Okay, Awesome. Love it. What does success look like for you?
Success. What does success look like for me? So success for me is seeing the lives of other people transformed, you know, in risk, what I do is I help keep people safe. So knowing that people go home to their spouses, loved ones, and in CEO essence, seeing the transformation in the lives of the people that I work with and hearing them say, oh my gosh, this weekend I did this and I used that tool that you gave me. That's success.
I love it.
It feels good.
Awesome. Yeah. What are you most grateful for?
What am I most grateful for? Opportunities.
Yes. What's been the biggest lesson you ever learned in life?
Compassion.
Yes.
I would say that I was not a compassionate person for a long time. So compassion.
Yeah, that's a great one to learn. And last but not least, Renee, how do you want to be remembered in history?
That I helped change the face of leadership.
I love it. Renee, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job.
Thank you.
Great job. Great job, Renee. Hey, fantastic. Hey, folks out there, if you're not inspired by Renee's story and her expertise, I'm not sure what's going on with you, but you got to definitely make sure you reach out to her. Again, Renee, what's the best way to do that if people want to contact you?
ReneeMorata.com.
Yes. And she has a leadership class coming up really soon that many of you can benefit from out there. Great leader. Jump in that course, support her, and support yourself as well. Engage in that self-development. Yes. So, Renee, as we wrap things up here, one last final question. So the focal point of our podcast focuses on two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you share our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Purpose and resilience. One more word around purpose and resilience. Faith.
Yes. Faith connects the two.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Sure does.
I love it. Any other words of advice you can give those folks out there who are looking to be more resilient?
Choose joy.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it will take you so far. Even the days that you're sure you're not going to get there, if you choose joy, ideas and things open up for you.
Yes, absolutely. Great advice. Folks out there, I hope you're inspired by Renee Morata's story, her expertise. Be sure to follow her out there. Hey, if you're someone out there who has an amazing story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share it with your folks on social media. And again, I want to thank Renee for joining us on the show today. Everyone else out there, thank you guys very much. God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.